A tourist was on photo safari in the Sahara Desert, and he took a wrong turn and became hopelessly lost. After a long morning in the hot sun, he spots a man coming on a donkey towards him, and he cried out, "Please help me, I'm dying of thirst." And the stranger looked at the tourist and said, "I'm sorry, all I have is neckties." And the tourist scoffed, "Neckties? I need water." So the vendor said, "You know what, I like you. Normally these ties go for $15 a piece, but for you today, 2 for $25. Well, the tourist walked away in disgust. He didn't need neckties. But 3 hours later, he came across an oasis, and crawling on his hands and knees, he got there. And when he reached it, he looked up and he saw a man in a tuxedo standing under a palm tree. And he said, "Please, please, do you have any water?" Well, the maitre d' said, "Well, yes, we have plenty of water." So with joy, the tourist said, "Well, which way do I go?" And the restaurant's right inside, said the maitre d', "but unfortunately, sir, I can't let you in without a tie." That was for you, Bob. Every dad needs a dad joke. But we may not believe that clothes make the man, but sometimes clothing does matter. Sometimes clothing is a matter of life and death. Think about the protective gear worn by firefighters or infectious disease researchers or scuba divers. They need their clothes or they might perish. Well, the joke about the tourist is just that, a joke, but the gospel lesson today is anything but a joke. Jesus gives a parable of life and death. We cannot take a chance on missing the central message of this parable. We need to dress for success in the kingdom of God. Now, admittedly, this is a difficult passage, but we have to put the words of Jesus into historical context to make much sense of what they mean so that we understand what they mean for us now. Now, invitations were a two-part affair in the first century. An initial date was given for a certain time frame for an affair, like a wedding. It's kind of like the way we send out a save-the-date letter or card for weddings. But this was a little bit more vague. It's about this time it will happen. But you're supposed to save the date, kind of be ready for it. And then later, when everything was prepared and everything was ready, the second invite would go out and say, "Now, now is the time." And in the parable that Jesus is telling, the king's guests seem to view that invitation, that second invitation, as an inconvenience, really. They just weren't ready for it. So then the king sent another invitation to reassure them that everything really was ready. Now is the time. Come now. And the invitees had various responses to the second invitation. Some were just too busy with living life. You know, the daily routine of life had bogged them down. They just really couldn't get away. Some were annoyed by the interruption. You know, their day was going just fine before this guy showed up with the invite. And some were rude, aggressive, even violent. But the wedding feast was not just an opportunity to enjoy the nuptials of the king's son. Those wedding feasts were also the time for the king to name the son as heir, that this is the new king. So therefore, the guest refusal was not just discourteous, it was traitorous. It explains why that war imagery was used in this parable. It seems out of proportion to a declined wedding invitation, doesn't it? But it was a question of loyalty. The king sent out his servants then to gather up the new guests to take the place of all those who were destroyed. At ancient wedding feasts, very wealthy families provided clothing, robes for the guests at their party. And kings provided special robes for anyone who would come into their presence. It didn't have to be a wedding. Any time you had an audience with the king, you had to put on a special robe. Now, these weren't robes you kept. They were robes that were there for guests to use while they were there. Well, naturally, those who were just called to the wedding feast had no time to change their clothes, and they would have to use the clothes provided by the king. All of the guests came and they changed into the new robes, except for one person. And the king asked, why why are you deciding not to participate? Why are you not fully present here at this wedding? And the man didn't have an answer, at least not one that he would give. I mean, was it that he thought he was doing the king a favor just by showing up and he didn't need to do anything else? Was he annoyed that the king did not find his regular clothes to be good enough for this event? We don't know the particulars of why the man refused that request to change, but we do know that the refusal caused the king to toss him out. Now remember, Jesus is still speaking to the Sanhedrin, and this parable immediately follows the one that we had last week of the violent tenants. Remember in that parable, the leaders knew that Jesus was talking about them as these Jewish leaders had identified with being God's vineyard and God's vine. So when Jesus let them know that, yeah, you're not the vine, you're the violent tenants. And now in this parable, Jesus is once again calling them out. He's using the image of the banquet, which Jews would immediately identify as the final blessing of God. You see, many generations ago, God called the children of Abraham to be God's people. And the invitation was offered over and over and over again by the prophets. And sometimes the invitation was accepted. But sometimes people ignored the invitation, preferring to take care of their business. You know, it's not that they were immoral. It's not that there was anything wrong with them. They were just too busy to answer the invitation. On the other hand, some of the people became hostile to the invitation sent by the God, and they rejected and beat and even killed God's servants, the prophets. But Jesus says, now is the time. Now is the time when the invitation is open to anyone who will answer, anyone who will prepare. If you've noticed, the bride is not the focus of this wedding parable. How often are weddings all about the bride? And here we don't even know who she is. She remains a mystery. But the focus isn't even on the groom. It's on the guests. The guests that were called, invited to the party. And that means the focus is also on us. For we are guests who have been called and invited to the party. God sent an invitation to everyone through Jesus. God prepared a joyous feast, and everything is now ready. The Son has thrown open the doors of his Father's house to invite all of us in, the good, the bad, the righteous, the sinner, and everyone in between, which is probably where I would identify the most, being that mix of good and bad, right and wrong. But if we decide to receive that invitation, we need to decide whether we accept or reject it. And if we decide to accept, will we do what is necessary? It's not enough just to say yes to the invitation. It's being willing to go all the way to do what is necessary to prepare to be part of this party. Are we willing to go all the way with God and change our robe for God's robe? Clothing was a common metaphor in the New Testament for spiritual change. Paul wrote to the church in Rome, "Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature." And then he wrote to the Christians in Corinth, "The perishable must clothe itself with imperishability and the mortal with immortality." The description of clothes acceptable to God is found in Paul's letter to the church in Colossae. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." But even Peter encourages Christians with these words, "All of you, clothe yourself with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble." Being clothed anew is an expression of holiness and righteousness. The old has to come off so that we can put on the new. Our souls, our spiritual selves, are like that wedding robe. When we go into the Father's banquet in honor of the Son Jesus, we will go clothed. We will go clothed in our souls, but what is the state of that soul? You see, we never deserved an invite to the party, let alone a place at the party. We're like the poor who were invited to a fine reception. The Atlanta Constitution had an article several years ago about a wedding that didn't take place. You see, the wedding was planned for a big suburban church, and it was a society event. All of the old families, the old money, the movers and shakers of the city were invited to celebrate the wedding of a wealthy debutante to an equally wealthy businessman. There was a lavish reception planned for after the church wedding. But hours before the wedding, the groom got cold feet, and he literally left the bride standing at the altar alone. The wedding, of course, was canceled. I mean, there wasn't anything else they could do. But what were they going to do with all the food? It had been bought and paid for. It had been prepared. It was ready to be eaten. What were they going to do? The paper reported that buses were sent out to the poor. They went to the Salvation Army hostel. They went to inner city shelters to bring all of the poor, the homeless, the out of luck, to a reception venue that would allow them to feast on crab and lobster and green beans almondine and steamed baby carrots and all the trimmings that went with it. They didn't deserve the feast any more than we deserve a heavenly banquet. It was only by the kindness and compassion of the bride and her family that the poor were invited in. And it's only by the grace of God through Jesus Christ that we have been invited in. But the question becomes for us, are we dressed for success in the kingdom of God? Have our lives actually changed because of Christ's invitation? Or are we still going along business as usual? Because if we're just going along as we've always gone along, then what we have done is refuse to put on the king's robes. So we have to examine ourselves as, do we make excuses about why now is not quite the right time? Why it's a little inconvenient to change now? If we've truly clothed ourselves in Christ, the changes will be seen in how we use our financial resources, our material resources. It will be seen in how we spend our time and use our talents. Is everything focused on us? If we looked at our checkbook and our calendars, is everything about us? Or have we built in God? Do we use what we have in such a way that we will bring God glory? Paul entreated the Philippians, "Beloved, whatever is pure, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is true, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things and keep doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you." Have we dwelt upon those things? Have we had our lives begin to conform to those ideals? Are we different today than we were yesterday? Have we truly said yes to the invitation of God through Christ? Have we dressed ourselves for success? The church on earth is merely a dress rehearsal for the wedding feast of Christ. The doors have been thrown open and all are invited. So now is the time to check our preparation for that feast. Every Sunday when we enter these doors together, we have the opportunity to see ourselves in full attendance at God's party. Every Sunday we have the ability to examine ourselves in prayer to see if we have truly put on the clothes of Christ. It's one thing to pray for each other in our need, but it's a different thing completely to take inventory of our soul to see if we are where God would have us be. Every Sunday, this is our opportunity to make sure that we are clothed with Christ. And every Sunday, we have the blessing of going out from this dress rehearsal into the highways and the byways to invite in those who have not yet received or accepted their invitation And that means we will invite people, strangers and friends alike, over and over again. And we will continue to invite those who have declined for whatever reason, because we remember that God has not given up on us, and we will not give up on others for the sake of God. But once we have been changed, once we are dressed for success in the kingdom of God, we are ready to party. God's invitation is an invitation to joy. There should be no dour, sour Christians anywhere. It's an invitation to joy. So I agree with Paul when he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. The time is now." Brothers and sisters, let us say yes to the invitation and put on Christ, that we may enter into eternal joy. Amen.